This is Digging Deeper, a podcast from UCEM. Each episode, we will discuss a different area of what the institution does and invite internal and sometimes external guests to share their thoughts. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the first ever Digging Deeper podcast. With it being National Apprenticeship Week, it's an apt time to kick off this new podcast series by looking at UCEM's involvement with apprenticeships. My name is Andrew Belt. I'm UCEM's PR and social media manager, and I'm delighted to be joined at UCEM's HQ in Reading by three guests to dissect this meaty topic. First, we have a current apprentice of ours, Rebecca Turner. Rebecca is an assistant quantity surveyor at multinational engineering firm AECOM. She is a current apprentice on UCEM's Chartered Surveyor Degree Apprenticeship on the Quantity Surveying and Construction Pathway. And last year, she was nominated in the Apprentice of the Year category at the RICS Matrix Young Surveyor of the Year Awards. Joining Rebecca is UCEM's Director of Commercial and Business Development, Stephen Bartle. Stephen leads the UCEM growth agenda with responsibility for marketing, enterprise, business development, international development and corporate training. Previously, Stephen was a Director of Business Development at the Learning and Skills Network, a not-for-profit organisation providing research, training and consultancy services to the education sector. Last and by no means least is UCEM Principal Ashley Wheaton. Ashley has been Principal at UCEM since 2013, taking responsibility for all aspects of the institution's academic and business operations. Ashley has previously held senior roles as Director of Global Learning Services for Microsoft and Chief Executive Officer of Infobasis Limited, a global talent management software company. He is currently also a non-executive director of the BRE Group Board, a trustee of the Chartered Surveyors Training Trust, a trustee of JISC, a member of the executive of Guild HE, and a director of Building People CIC. But enough from me. I will let our guests speak. So how are we doing this evening? How is everyone?
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Very well, thanks.
Yeah, excited to talk about this topic, Andrew.
Good. And it's Ashley we begin with as well, because we've only been offering apprenticeships, I believe it's 5 years now. And I think it's an important story to tell on this podcast. So if you could let us know, how did we get involved with apprenticeships?
Well, I think there are a couple of catalysts for this, Andrew. The first of which really was nothing to do with the government's agenda around this. And then the second one, of course, much more recently to do with the introduction of the apprenticeship levy. So first and foremost, we were approached a number of years ago, as you said, about 5 years ago, by the Chartered Surveyors Training Trust, who actually had a diploma at the time. And they were looking for ways in which they could move that diploma out of their own delivery and find a partner that they could work with to take on the ongoing design and delivery of that educational program. It seemed to make a huge amount of sense for us. It fits brilliantly with our purpose to support our industry in providing education that's accessible and relevant to provide the necessary skills. And so we agreed that we would take on the delivery of that level 3 diploma at the time. So that was our first foray into this, and we spanned that up in a little over 3 months. Actually, we made that decision in the August, and by January, we were delivering. Secondly, of course, and Steve might want to talk more about this, you know, the introduction of the government's levy on employers was a moment in time where I think we had to make a decision about whether we wanted to be involved in that. In some ways, it was a very easy decision because, of course, the bulk of our students are already in full-time employment, and many of those students were already coming to us through sponsorship from their employer. So there's a very sort of natural and easy fit to find that those same students are now coming, but they're coming through the apprenticeship levy rather than through direct sponsorship. And I know later on we'll talk a little bit more about the apprenticeship levy and what requests we might have for it to be different. But those are really, I think, the two reasons why we're so heavily engaged in that agenda.
Mm. And I remember we spoke a while back around this issue and how it wasn't really part of the roadmap. I found that, you know, extraordinary, really, that this was something which came out of the blue, as you mentioned, and we were sort of ready to deliver, I believe, with the words used in our UCM history book. So,
yeah, I think one of the strengths, Andrew, of the then CEM and now UCM is that we've always been really responsive and really agile. Mm. And this is a great example, isn't it, of where, you know, industry needed our help. They came to us, you know, through the Chartered Surveyors Training Trust, and we were able to respond really quickly to that need. I mean, I don't have the stats. Steve might have them on the number of apprentices, not just on programme, but that have been through program since then. But, you know, it's a staggering number of students, you know, in the thousands who've been through programs ever since. So it certainly felt like the right decision then, and it still does now.
Mm. And I think you were leading on to some of the numbers. We'd like to know a bit more about the milestones which have taken place. I mean, 5 years later, there's been a lot of growth, as you mentioned, Ashley, and, you know, where are we now when you look back at the first 5 years?
So it's really been the biggest driver of growth in student numbers over the last 5 years. We started delivering in 2015 as a subcontractor, just responsible for the academic elements of the programme, either one of our accredited degrees or our specially developed surveying technician diploma. But we gradually built our capacity and capability so that we could increase our numbers. And within a couple of years, we'd not only got direct access to the funding, but we were also able to manage the end-to-end delivery of the apprenticeship, not just the academic programme. So what that meant was that from a standing start, where we effectively had zero apprentices on programme in 2015, we now have over 1,300 across our Level 3, Level 6 and Level 7 apprenticeship programme. So it's been a really remarkable journey. And there have been some really important milestones along that period. I think it's fair to say that more of the completers have been on the Level 3 programme because it is a shorter apprenticeship, whereas we're only now just seeing newly finished apprentices who've completed the Level 6 and have got the degree and now moving on to the APC. And Rebecca is one of those.
And how would you judge the success then of the apprenticeships we've offered so far?
Well, I think you can look at the volume, so you can look at the number of starts. We regularly get over 450 starts a year now. You can also look at the number of employers working with us, and the latest count is it's nearly 300 employers who have apprentices studying with us. And that includes a really wide range of organisations, from, you know, global companies like ACOM through to small local surveying firms. You can also look at the quality of what we provide, so the satisfaction rates. We're pleased that we're well over 80% satisfaction for both employers and learners who rate us either good or excellent in terms of our delivery. And you can also look at the way we've worked to improve success rates, particularly on the Level 3 programme, where we now have a success rate for the associate assessment, which is well above the national benchmark as decided by the RICS.
I'd echo those as well, by the way. I mean, I think it's pretty impressive to say that, you know, more than 50% of our undergraduate provision is now coming through, you know, the apprenticeship route. There has been a lot of success, which I think we should all applaud, but I think there could have been more success if a couple of things had happened. I think one, this sounds a bit critical, but I think it's the truth, is that the Institute for Apprenticeships has been slow in approving the necessary standards, and we are still without some standards that we all feel would be valuable in this space, and certainly employers would feel so, notably at the postgraduate Level 7 surveying end. You know, we're still without that standard, and employers, I think, would really benefit from that. The second one, which may not be quite so obvious, is I don't really think that the apprenticeship agenda, certainly from our perspective, is driving widening participation in the way we might have hoped. It's interesting, looking at our own statistics, we find that there's a less diverse pool of students studying through the apprenticeship route than there are actually through the other routes, which in itself is perhaps not what we intended. But overall, I would say that our approach is consistent with what this agenda was designed to do. You know, we are here delivering highly relevant, you know, vocational and technical qualifications through the apprenticeship route, which employers absolutely need and which have professional, you know, endpoint assessments to them. And that isn't something that can necessarily be said for the entirety of where the levy is being spent. And of course, I'm referring to a lot of the management routes, which are rightly, in my view, sort of criticised as taking up the lion's share of the funding.
Mm. So it's been successful, we would surmise, but it's all well and good, us here at UCEM, talking about the success. I think, you know, it's great that we have Rebecca here, who's our current UCEM apprentice, and I do believe you have enjoyed the experience so far. So it would take a different turn if you didn't. But, I mean, how have you found the apprenticeship?
Yeah, no, I personally, I've absolutely loved it. I've always wanted to get a degree and I've always wanted to work. So for me, that was the best option. And I feel like having UCM, having colleagues, having other students, you've got a whole network of support that you might not necessarily have. I've loved it and I felt really proud when I graduated in December. So I walked out with a big smile on my face.
Can I just ask you a question, Rebecca?
Yes.
If you hadn't gone through this route, would you have pursued it anyway through a more traditional route?
I only really considered it through the apprenticeship.
Okay, that's so, really yeah. I know it's only a sample of one, but you know, yeah. I have heard that from other people. That sort of, you know, perhaps if this route didn't exist, you know, we would not be qualifying as many people. So
it just shows what the apprenticeships can do and how they appeal to everyone, well, to our apprentices. I mean, it was how did you find the apprenticeship? You know, so the AECOM, it was AECOM who hired you.
Yes.
Was that going on the government portal? Was that a fairly easy experience?
So I was with AECOM.
You were already with AECOM.
I was already with AECOM. Yeah. And then they offered me the apprenticeship and it was just perfect for me. It was what I wanted.
Perfect fit.
Yeah.
And what's the support like been from AECOM, would you say, as well?
It's been amazing. I've had colleagues support me throughout. I've had, whenever I've needed a question, there's always someone to ask. And it's quite nice being an apprentice because there are other apprentices and they're all going through the same thing as you. And I think it's really nice to have someone to go to who's similar to you. And, you know, they're all expertise. So if I ever had a question on my coursework or exams, I had somewhere to go and someone to ask. So it's really good.
That's great. And then in terms of the online learning and then the face-to-face workshops, how do you find that, the studying part?
Fitting in time to study isn't always easy, but having the recorded webinars and having it all online, some people might struggle, but I personally loved it because I had a go-to place. When I had the time, I could go to it. And even if I'm sitting there on a Sunday weekend, and I just go in and I can just log online. It doesn't need to be, I need to be here at this time. It's when I can fit it in, which I thought was really helpful.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
How do you reflect, Rebecca, on the fact that if you'd gone through a traditional route through a mainstream university, you know, I suppose at best you might have come out with a student loan which would be paid over your career versus the route where all of your studies and tuition fees have been paid on your behalf by your employer. I mean, did that feature in your thinking and how do you feel about that now?
That was one of the reasons I didn't commit to university to start with, was the big cost at the end. And for me, I wanted to work and earn money. So having the apprenticeship obviously is a fantastic option for those who maybe don't want to choose such a heavy financial burden.
Definitely.
And so great has the apprenticeship been that you were nominated for Apprentice of the Year last year. So, you know, congratulations, really.
Thank you.
Amazing experience, I imagine, at the RICS Matrix Young Surveyor of the Year Awards.
Yes.
I mean, how did that come about?
It was my directors put me forward through it. And I think it was because I think being young, they like a younger person's point of view. And I think I was keen to take on a lot. And I really focus on like work experience students. So I am the work experience coordinator. So for me, it was a way of trying to inspire the younger generation coming through the way I was. And also, I think they just saw how keen I was and how hard I was working. And I think that's why they thought, we'll nominate her.
And then in terms of the experience itself, presumably you went to the awards.
Yes, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Got to dress up and wear a pretty dress.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Did you enjoy speaking to a lot of the other nominated?
Yeah, there were so many, and it was just a great, it was a great event. It was really good.
It's a real boon sort of early in your career. And
feel good.
How do you find, you know, the profession itself then, you know, with the sociability? I mean, you talk about the other apprentices at ACOM. Do you find it a really sociable profession?
I think it can be if you want it to be. I think there are a lot of events. RSCS hold a lot, and obviously UCM do some, and there's a lot of CPDs that go on where you can just go and meet people, and I think that's a great way for me to just meet people in the same position as me.
And just on the online learning as well. I mean, what advice would you give, say, someone's saying, I'm thinking about studying with UCM, but I've never done online learning, you know, what should they be thinking about? You were talking about doing it at times where it fits around your life, but are there any other sort of tips you'd maybe give?
It is hard. Not gonna, you know, not having the face-to-face can sometimes be a bit hard, but I think the way UCM has changed from when I first started, it's got a lot more interactive, and I think there is always someone to speak to, and I just would recommend that they do set aside some time and make sure that they stick to that, and also whenever they've got some spare time just to log on and do bits and bobs.
So planning.
Planning, yeah.
Yeah. I think, Andrew, if I may, I think that one of the challenges that some of our students have is that they don't necessarily have the support from their employer. And I think that's really critical. Yeah. I mean, I would say there are shining examples. ACOM is definitely one where, you know, they're looking at how can we support our apprentices with time to study, you know, with the necessary experience and on-the-job experience that relates to their studies. And that works really, really well. Certainly those that I think we've spoken to that don't have that find that it is really challenging, you know, fitting this in around work without necessarily the support of your employer is definitely a tough one. So I know Stephen's team do a huge amount of work with employers in terms of outreach to make sure that they understand the commitment as an employer as well as the employee and the apprentice, you know, to make these programs successful.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we ensure we say to employers at the outset, particularly if they're not very familiar with apprenticeship programs, is they really need to understand what's involved and ensure they have the systems in place to support the apprentices. So, for example, through having workplace mentors and having APC counsellors and so on, because that's really important to ensure success.
I completely agree. I have had that support, so that's probably why mine's a bit. I've had that.
And then looking further ahead, I mean, where do you see your career going? What ambitions would you say you have?
Well, firstly, I want to get the APC done. I think that is my next big, very big step that I'm keen to work towards. And then I just really want to get on with it and just really want to progress my career within ACOM and one day, hopefully, be a female director, hopefully. Right. It would be quite nice to say. One day.
Why not? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think you've kind of summed it up a little bit there, Stephen, just before, where, you know, we'd ask for what advice you'd give to employers about apprentices and taking them on and understanding what it involves, because there is an awful lot. But, you know, you were saying just then, that you've got to understand the time which needs to be given and the support given to those apprentices. But are there any other sort of words of advice you would give to employers?
Overall, we would say to employers that there are a lot of benefits from employing apprentices. So it's a very positive story in most cases, and that's certainly the kind of feedback we get from employers too. So, you know, there are benefits like improving the diversity of the workforce. So quite often employers will have their own widening participation schemes to improve diversity and inclusion. Apprenticeships can help with that. There's also the question of staff loyalty. And some employers would say that their apprentices who have been through the system and have been supported all the way to get their degree and then get professional membership are more loyal than people who come in as a graduate trainee and maybe are looking around within a couple of years to move elsewhere. And then, the other thing we would say to employers, particularly the larger ones who are paying significant amounts in levy funds, is that you're spending this money anyway. It's ring fenced, so it's in your interest to ensure that you actually use it as part of your own recruitment and training plans.
And Ashley, is there anything you would add to what Stephen said, or?
Well, I think I'd kind of combine the two and think a little bit more about what Rebecca had said about career.
Mm.
Unfortunately, we don't have the data yet, but if you could look back on this type of scheme from the future, let's say 25 years from now, I'm sure you could demonstrate with some really empirical evidence that those that had followed this route, who combined professional experience alongside study, were further up in their career than those that did, you know, the more traditional route of 3 years of study, then had to find a job, then were starting from scratch with, albeit, you know, the qualification, but without the experience. And certainly that's the message that I hear from those who either have finished or are coming to the end of the scheme, is that, you know, they feel really well equipped to succeed in the world of work. They're already thinking about career ambitions, and that their employers, frankly, are sort of desperate to hold on to them because, you know, they're really valuable assets. And so it's slightly unfortunate, isn't it, that we don't have outcomes yet for this agenda that can demonstrate that not only does it function and work on its own, but actually we may find some evidence in the future that suggests it's a better route or a more successful route for some people than the more traditional pathway.
And we do have a wide range of apprenticeships. We've not really sort of dwelt on that too much, but there's 4 apprenticeships, 14 pathways currently. And it's an offer which has continued to be improved and added to. You know, looking ahead, what kind of apprenticeships are we looking to host in the future?
So at the moment, as you mentioned, Andrew, we have 4 apprenticeship standards that we deliver. Within the surveying technician and chartered surveyor apprenticeships, we do have a number of pathways. So it's actually a, you know, a broader offer than that would suggest. But we're always on the lookout for new apprenticeship standards to deliver where we think there is interest from employers and there's likely to be demand. So the next one that we would plan to offer would be the construction site management apprenticeship from autumn this year. We will also be looking at the construction quantity surveyor degree apprenticeship, which we think will also attract a lot of interest. And as Ashley mentioned, we're still interested in seeing whether the postgraduate chartered surveyor apprenticeship routes could be approved, because we think there would be a lot of demand for that one too. So that's where we're aiming to go in terms of new standards, but we're also looking at ways we can improve our delivery all the time. And one thing we're aiming at the moment is trying to secure new premises to support our workshop delivery, which I think is going to be very important, particularly for our Level 3 programme.
So lots of plans in the future to add to our already well-functioning apprenticeships offer.
I think we have to keep evolving the offer. Mm. One of the things that we've noticed is that as employers become more familiar, their expectations increase, and there are also a lot more universities offering some of the big apprenticeship standards. So when we started offering the Chartered Surveyor standard 5 years ago, there were only 3 universities doing that. Now there are 18. So that just shows the way this has really taken off in that time.
I think it's important, Andrew, that as well as the particular standards that we choose to offer programmes in support of, that we maintain everything else that goes with it. I think we should feel very, very proud and confident of the systems, the processes, and the kind of back end that we're putting together. You know, that in itself is a huge piece of work to become compliant in terms of what's expected as a registered provider of apprenticeships, to make sure that you are compliant in terms of drawing down the funding. You know, there's a huge amount of machinery that you have to create to do that. But perhaps more importantly is the relationships that we have with the apprentices and with the employers that are outside of our standard academic program. I think too many people sort of taking that part a little bit too lightly, saying we've got an academic program, here it is, and not putting in place, you know, the kind of the wrapper that makes it really into a proper apprenticeship. And in that case, what they're doing is they're pushing all of that onto the employer. Some employers are not ready or not capable or don't have the resources to do that. So I think, you know, we're very conscious of making sure that the whole offer is right for industry. And the work that we've put in place with apprenticeship officers who, you know, have a named group of apprentices that they're working through is a really important part of the pastoral care that comes as part of our apprenticeship offer, that's regardless of the particular programme or the particular subject that you're studying.
And I think that's a really important point. I mean, I think the infographic which was created last year for National Apprenticeship Week, it was around 12% of the entire institution in terms of working staff were working within the apprenticeships team. So it's fundamentally changed how we are as an institution, and it really, you know, seems to seep through everything we do. So yes, it's a huge part of what we do, and we'll continue. And just before we wrap up our very first Digging Deeper podcast, just got a few quick fire questions which I want to ask everyone. So first one is, in one sentence, why would you study on an apprenticeship? And we'll start with Rebecca.
Yep. One sentence, yes. You have the support of an employer whilst completing a degree, and you have 4 years experience when you graduate.
Thank you. Stephen?
I'd say it's a great way to launch your career, and it's a really smart alternative to doing a full-time university degree.
And Ashley?
Well, I can't possibly answer it in one sentence.
We love some semicolons, commas.
I mean, I think the chances are, and I'll probably lay some money on this, that your career will be enhanced by taking this route rather than doing it through a sort of, you know, serial route. So in parallel, the experience you're getting from on the job plus the studies, I think, will amount to a much better, more successful outcome. I think in cold, hard facts, you are not going to come out of a degree, an undergraduate degree program, with a huge student loan, which is going to follow you around for some years to come. I think that's an incredible benefit, and we probably don't talk enough about that. And perhaps most importantly, you can absolutely guarantee, if you go through an apprenticeship, that what you're learning has relevance. You know, those standards are there and they're approved for a very good reason, which is industry have designed and backed them. They're saying that's what we need in terms of skills. So you can guarantee that what you're studying is useful, relevant, and, you know, likely to lead you to a great career.
Great. Okay. Our second question in the quickfire round is, what has been your highlight or standout moment from your involvement with apprenticeship? So Ashley, this time first, what would you say?
Well,
highlight has been?
It's an easy one for me, without question. It was seeing some of our first level six apprentices graduating in December. You know, it's just fantastic to see people coming through that route, see them graduating alongside, you know, the other graduates who come through the more, you know, more traditional routes. Just wonderful to see. So definitely, that's it for me.
Seeing that green sash, which has been part of graduation prior to that. And Rebecca?
For me, it'd be graduating.
Yeah, I thought that would tie in quite well. So,
yep,
there we go. That was an easy one. Stephen?
I think I'm going to have to agree with Ashley and Rebecca, because for me, it was, again, it was celebrating success at a graduation, and having been part of the team that initiated the, you know, the apprenticeships offer back in 2015, it was just great seeing all that come through to fruition.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, perhaps most significantly, every time we shake anybody's hand up there, we get the endpoint assessment payment, 20%, which is we could talk about in a moment, I'm sure.
They reach the gateway.
So we begin with the nice part, talking about our highlights, but perhaps we reach our more critical part, which is, if you could sit with the cabinet, and you know, in the next few weeks, that might have a different flavour. And ask them to change one thing about the apprenticeships agenda, what would it be? Quickfire round was maybe not the best place to put this question in. But Ashley, I'm sure there's plenty you'd like to.
Well, I know Stephen's got lots to say about this as well. And he and I have spent a large amount of time over the last 3 years lobbying, writing open letters, you know, trying to bring a number of areas to people's attention, including various sort of select committees and other, you know, more formal opportunities to feedback. I think that there are a few levers that with the right push or pull could make the whole agenda work better. In no particular order, I think the funding model isn't quite right. You are asking a lot of providers to effectively cash flow this. One, because of the way the in arrears payment works versus the way that upfront payment works for traditional higher education provision. And then, of course, the very hefty 20% holdover that, put in real terms for us right now, with over 1,000 apprentices on our Level 6 programme, is in excess of £5 million that's being held over. It's a big ask to say, if you want to play and you want to play your part in supporting industry, you need to find some fairly deep pockets. So that's definitely one for me. I think the slow and sometimes difficult to understand standards that are approved, either because of the funding level they're approved at or the delay in approving them, or in some cases the absence of approvals, remains a problem. And I think sometimes the IFATE confuses signing off standards with success. And there are lots of standards that they've signed off, many of them who have no starts whatsoever. So we shouldn't confuse those two metrics. So that would certainly be my request to the IFA, is that they think hard about which standards to approve. And then maybe finally, I think that we need to resolve some of the challenges and issues between levy payers and non-levy payers. Stephen, I'm sure, can talk about this in much better detail than me. But, you know, the system is not quite functioning where we've got that divide between those that are paying and those that don't. And even with the new ability to pass on more funds from levy payers, I would say that that remains a challenge for the smaller firms that are not paying their levy.
So, Stephen, have you got more to add to that?
I do, Andrew. I think of all the questions, this is the hardest one to answer in one sentence. But from my perspective, I think there have been lots of pluses about the apprenticeships agenda. I think it's been a really great development over the last few years. But there are some aspects of it which have really worked against the success of the scheme. And could have been implemented much better and would have generated better results in the process. So two of the standards that I mentioned we're thinking of delivering in future, the construction site management and construction quantity surveyor, they both took nearly 5 years to be approved by the Institute for Apprenticeships. And there's just, however you look at that, there's no real good reason for it. I think there are certain things that are really acting as a barrier to take up at the moment. And currently there is total confusion in the system about the funding for new apprentices employed by non-levy payers. So since the apprenticeship levy was introduced in 2017, it's been fairly clear how the system works for the levy payers, and they have a clearly allocated funding pot, although some of them are never quite sure how much is actually in there. But the non-levy payers, first of all, had to go through a contract with a training provider and are now being told that they need to register with the Digital Apprenticeship Service and apply for funding. But at the moment, no one seems very clear how and when that's going to happen. So I think there are a number of issues that, you know, government could really get to grips with. I also think there are just some real sort of no-brainers, like the postgraduate chartered surveyor route, which I think there's just no reason why it shouldn't be funded. There's perfectly good rationale for having it, and it, you know, I'm sure it would be an instant success.
I've got one sentence answer for you. I've been thinking of while Stephen was talking. Yeah, I think Gavin Williamson should get out and come and see this stuff. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. I think that there is, in some cases, there is a slight misunderstanding or a gap between knowledge of those, in the cabinet or in the Department for Education, and actually what's happening out there on the ground. So I would really encourage anybody to come out and take a look. Be informed. You can always tell us to do it differently, but if you know what we're doing, then at least you'll have that knowledge. So
we can have that wish list ready for him, should he come and visit. And Rebecca, is there anything you would say to Cabinet about making it better? I mean, obviously, from your point of view, it's been a really great and great experience. So are there any aspects which you would change?
Personally, no, but maybe just a bit more promotion.
A bit more promotion of the benefits of it.
Yeah, and I think they're not considered enough at college. I think it's normally go do this career or do this. It's never, there's this apprenticeship that you could consider. And I think that would be helpful to younger generations.
I can only agree with Rebecca. I think that there's a significant knowledge gap, particularly in sort of careers advisors at schools and probably, widely across the sector about the availability of this and what it means. We used, of course, to have a minister for apprenticeships. We don't even have that anymore. So I think government could do more to promote the value of this and help schools and other people involved in bringing awareness of what's available. Mm. Apprenticeship or skills minister, but one, Robert Halfen, used to talk a lot about, you know, really trying to bring parity here and not having apprenticeships be seen as a sort of second class offer. You know, at the end of the day, it's exactly the same undergraduate degree level qualification that you would be getting through, you know, a degree only route. And I think we really need to bring that to the fore. Maybe the word apprenticeship in itself just conjures up too many connotations for people about what an apprenticeship is. They're not like that anymore. You know, the world has really moved on. So I agree entirely. I think more awareness, more education around what this is and what it can do, I think would really benefit the whole system.
And hopefully, for those listening, this has been educational for you. It being National Apprenticeship Week, there'll be plenty of adverts on TV, and we'll be doing lots of things during the week as well, this podcast included. So hopefully you will have learnt a lot. And that's pretty much a wrap in terms of our first ever Digging Deeper podcast. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
And yeah, we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Digging Deeper. To keep up to date with all the latest goings on at EUCEM, follow us on our social media channels. And don't forget to subscribe on Spotify or iTunes.